Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Wealth, and Wellness.
Welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I'm your hostess, Sandy Rogers. And I get so excited every Tuesday to present this show because it's so important and I have the most absolutely wonderful guests in the world. So thank you for being a part of Life, Love, and Wellness. I am so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. I have a few guests who are anxious to begin. So let's do what we do, right? We give thanks to the ancestors for being with us always, always, but especially on Tuesday as we discuss issues not ordinarily talked about in an open setting or an open environment. So we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength. We trust that they have our backs, and as we move forward, we love our ancestors. We treasure our ancestors, and during this month of Black History, we salute and just pay respect. And so, ancestors, we love you. We thank you, and we give so much appreciation for everything that you've done for us so that we can live that better life. Ashe, ashe, ashe. So next, we make sure that we anchor ourselves in affirmative feelings, because sometimes we can be rushing to get from place to place and rushing to make sure that we get to the radio in time and listen to Truthful Tuesdays, or, you know, just a whole number of things. So we want to take the time to just settle down and exhale, right? So I write a daily inspirational message that can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. And you can sign up for to have it delivered to your email address every day, or you can just go on and check it out. But we're going to read just a small portion of one of the selected daily inspirational messages. And so today's thought is just simply called love. And what we want to share tonight, it says, choose love as your barometer. If your actions do not reflect love, then choose again. Love is actually all there really is. Anything else is void of love. God is love, and you are love, my precious ones out there. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with us. Again, it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Integrity. What is it and how does it work? And our special guest, he's been with us before, so, you know, you guys were so excited and enthused with him. He originally was scheduled for one show and he wound up doing two. So he's a powerful, powerful speaker, and he brings information to us that makes us go outside of the box to really get involved in the conversation that he has with us. So he makes us think, and I love that, right? So I'm so honored to have my friend on the line tonight, Edward Phelps, and he is such a truth seeker and such a person that wants expansion for all of us. So he brings his ideas in book form to us, and you know that they're not those 500 or 600 page books. No, they're something that we can actually deal with and learn from if we practice the principles that he brings to us. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to bring Ed on, and we're going to get started in this discussion on integrity. What does that word truly mean for us, right? All right, so we'll be right back. That was Elements, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and that was Gratitude. I thought that was so appropriate when we're talking about integrity, and you'll understand the connection as we go through this show. So welcome back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And audience, you know you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard. However, no foul, profane, or vulgar language is allowed. You will be disconnected from the show. So our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. You press 1 to alert me you want to speak live on air with us. And to ensure the best high quality on our playbacks, make sure that once your line is open, you put yourself on mute if you're not speaking. And so that way we don't have any background distortions. That's very important. And you can always go on and view archives of all the shows. You would just go to blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, RODGERS. So let's get to the show, right? Thank you for being with us. So we have with us tonight our guest, Edward Phelps. He's an author. He's a strategist. He's a thinker. He is a motivator. He's an inspirer, if that's such a word. I just made it up if it's not. But he'll get you off your duff. You know, he'll make you get up and take action because his words are so powerful and his thought process is probably something that you're not very aware of or have listened to a person that comes the way that he does. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring back to the mic our special friend and guest, Edward Phelps. Like I said, he's been on our show before. We've had an opportunity to hear him, and he was so powerful that we actually had two shows for him instead of one. So that's just how magnificent this person is. Hey, Ed, are you with us?
I'm here.
Thank you for being with us tonight. Yes, I hear you fine.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me and all of them. I'm blushing.
Well, it was all true, so. You're such a motivating individual.
Very much appreciated.
Sure.
What's happening?
We're going to talk about integrity tonight, right? You're going to tell us?
Yeah, that's what I have lined
up.
Yeah,
going to break it down for us?
A little something.
Okay.
So it's a word that, you know, we all use, integrity. And it's actually one of the many aspirational words in our language, in the English language, in our language. And it's something that we look for in our, you know, in our politicians, especially now.
Okay.
We look for it in our friends. We look for it in our family members. We look for it all around us. And some of us even look for it in ourselves, right?
Wow. Yeah.
But it's something that I would propose we don't really get, right? You know, we talk about it, we want it. So I was going to just present some thoughts on it, and then we can talk about it.
Okay. Love
it. So effectively, integrity is a divine force, and it's generally used but not well understood. In my experience, it's a powerful fundamental life force that a person simply can't live their best life without being aware of what it is, how it works, and what it's for. And in my experience, most of us are not. I know I wasn't for most of my life, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit about what it really is, how it works, and how we can use it.
Okay.
So if we look at the English word integrity, it's a noun, and it's currently defined to mean the following. Number one, the quality of being honest and fair. Number two, the state of being complete or whole. Let's examine that first definition a little more closely. The quality of being honest uses the word quality to describe a distinctive attribute or feature someone has that makes them stand out from others. So right there, right away, anyone who has or displays integrity is distinctive or different from others.
Wow.
By the current definition of the word. to put that another way, most of us don't have integrity, and those of us who do have a different quality than the rest of us. That's by the definition of the word, right?
Right.
If we look closely at ourselves, this is true. Each of us routinely acts in ways that do not meet our own standards of integrity. We do it all the time. And we have all sorts of justifications for the actions we take. This lack of integrity is the norm in our culture. Yet we all want it and we ask for more integrity in our lives. We want others to show it to us. We want our institutions to treat us with integrity. And we especially want our authorities to have integrity. Let's take a look at that second definition a little more closely. State of being complete or whole uses the word whole, which in this use is defined as meaning in an unbroken or undamaged state. Well, ask yourself, am I unbroken or undamaged? For most of us, the answer is simply no. I know I am definitely broken and definitely damaged, okay?
Right.
And for most of us, the main cause of a lot of our brokenness and damage is lies and deceitful things that we have suffered through. So when we look closely at what integrity means, by the definition, the current definition, it's clear that it is something few of us have and use. And when we encounter honesty and fairness, it is distinctive and it does stand out. So what is integrity? Well, I have a different definition of integrity, and I felt the need to create a definition that more accurately describes what I've observed about how integrity actually works in my life and in the lives of others I have encountered. My definition is integrity is a divine force that is activated when we express or hide our true intentions. We activate the force of integrity when we communicate with others using words and actions. There are two types or kinds, sides, or forms of integrity. Loving integrity is what I call one of them, and fearful integrity is what I call the other one. When we express our true intentions, what we really want and feel, we trigger loving integrity. When we say or do things for the primary purpose of getting what we want, when we choose our words and actions based upon our fears, when we describe what we feel as being the best or realistic instead of what we truly feel and want, whenever we do any of these things, we trigger fearful integrity. So how does integrity work then? Well, the way it works is simple at the core. Here's how I describe what I call the two paths. Number one, when you share your true intentions, then others can act on them. That's pretty simple. Number two, when you hide your true intentions, everything others do is based on the lies that you shared. That's it. Those are the two paths. So how do we use this? What do we do with this? If we accept this definition, if we observe this to be true, what do we do with this? Well, knowing the two paths, you can choose your actions carefully. Whichever path you choose opens up a whole universe of actions and consequences. There's no right or wrong way to use the power of integrity. This is not a judgment thing. This is, if you notice, I haven't said that loving integrity is good and fearful integrity is bad. All I've said is I've used those terms to describe the two channels that integrity has, right? The key is in having the awareness to know that however you choose to use integrity, you will unleash a series of actions and events around you with long-lasting effects. That's it. I'm going to stop there, and let's talk.
All right. So I was really intrigued by the current definition of the word integrity and how it talked about being different and being whole and being set apart, I think was a part of one of the definitions too. And so it's really interesting in that regard that the concept integrity is all, it, to me, it appears the concept of integrity is already thought to be something that most people will not exhibit in their lifetime because, or in their lives, or in their interactions with others, because it's saying that you're different from other people when you display this quality about yourself. And that was really, never looked at it like that before, you know. And then the part about being whole is, I mean, they're both very, very interesting aspects because I would have never thought to look up the definition of the word and then have a conversation
most of us
around
don't.
It. But
right.
But you're absolutely correct. You know, when you do that, when you go that far, so a lot of times we're saying words, but we really don't know the implication of the words. And so that was a little startling for me. So, but I enjoyed you telling us about the definition and then breaking it down a little bit more. And then the additional thoughts around fearful integrity and loving integrity, I enjoyed those because there was more of a picture for me to make it all make sense.
I too was fascinated by the but not surprised. I mean, what I was actually confirmed and affirmed by about the definition was the observation I had already accepted that integrity is not something that our world holds as one of its standards and virtues. You know, it's something outside the norm. And so the definition clearly confirms that, right? It's not
right.
Something that is the norm. And then, you know, what's important about these things, what's important about just, you know, we do a lot of things in our lives without going deep, you know, without taking time, you know. We're constantly doing, but, you know, we're never taking time to be and not do and observe and contemplate some of the things that we're doing. So it's powerful when you don't do that, how you take on words like integrity and you don't really get what they're about, you know, and you don't really know what to seek. And if you don't know what you're looking for, there's a pretty almost, you know, 110% chance you're not going to find it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, so, yeah.
But we go about looking for it, like you were saying, you know, in our interactions with other people, within ourselves, always asking the question, you know, like, well, were my actions in integrity today, or, you know, with what I just did, that conversation I just had with so-and-so, you know, was that the best way to express it? And when we do that, we're thinking about the word, or at least I am thinking about the word integrity. And it means something. It means something entirely different from the definition that you gave. You know, because for me, integrity is doing the right thing, being truthful and honest. It's the loving integrity that you talked about. You know, like expressing who you are without apology, and also expecting other people to do the same thing in fairness and honesty as well. So interesting.
We love to take the parts we like about things and discard the parts we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've observed is that integrity is a force, and it works both ways. You know, and the reason that, you know, it's important to suspend your judgments, you know, as an example, if you're in a situation where you're in danger and you know that the other party or the other entity is, you know, posing harm to you, right? Sharing your true intentions is not going to be very effective because they will use it against you. The key is to know, to be aware that when you choose fearful integrity in that respect, when you choose the other channel, when you act, you know, differently and you hide your intentions, right, you're unleashing a series of events. So when you tell that little white lie, you know, to your best friend about something to spare, typically we tell lies all the time to spare another person's feelings, right? That's how we justify it.
Right.
Well, the key is, and I'm not judging, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying, if you know, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying it's good, bad, right, or wrong. What I am saying is it's important to be aware that when you tell this person, you know, your favorite color is blue when your favorite color is actually red, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you set out into the world is they're going to believe it's blue, and everyone they encounter will, in context, you know, when they share that information, will think your favorite color is blue. And you'll be living up to that to the whole part of the universe that they encounter, if that makes sense. And
right,
one day,
right,
at some point, you're going to run into some situation, guaranteed, where that lie is going to come out.
Right.
Notice I didn't say possibly. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form, you know, it will happen. And so it's the same the other way around. When you share your true intentions, right, on the one hand, wow, your friends can act on that. They can say, well, wow, how can I support that? On the other hand, they can use it against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So everything has the two sides. And to the point you made, we love to take one side of something and claim that as what it is and just ignore the other side.
Right.
Good luck with that, right? How's that working out?
Exactly. But you just brought up another interesting viewpoint, and when you were talking about judgment, and that when we're making that decision, it is a judgment that, you know, I didn't act in integrity, or that person didn't do, or, you know, that wasn't. And so I like that, because I had never looked at integrity as being a judgment, but it is, definitely.
Yeah, our judgments play into everything we do. I mean, judgments are part of how we function. That's what we have brains for. The brain is a biological computer. It compares stuff, you know, all day long. That's all it does. You know. So, yes, we, you know, the secret is to build the muscles that help you to suspend your judgments, to have them, but to suspend acting on them, to suspend putting them forth at times, and to allow yourself to see something as it is, free of your judgments.
Mm.
And then you can make a choice that is, you know, that won't be based on your judgments, if that makes sense.
Right.
And you might choose the same thing. The difference is you're more aware. You've taken a much more holistic view.
Okay, so then your approach is more about being aware than it is perhaps changing it, just that you are more knowledgeable about the reasons why you're doing certain things, correct?
Yes, and it helps you also to then be prepared for the outcomes, both positive and negative.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Most of the time when the bad things, quote unquote, happen to us, we're blindsided. We feel totally, you know, hurt by them. But you can solve a lot of that by being more aware. You'll see it coming, which takes a lot of the weight off of it.
So one of our guests in the chat room, they want to know, how does awareness impact integrity? What's the connection between the two?
Awareness effectively helps you to choose how you use integrity. It helps you to make more effective choices. Effective simply being defined as choices that align with your values and your desires at the time. And the choices you're going to make today may be very, in one situation, may be very different from the choices you'll make tomorrow in the same situation. You know, we change, our needs change, our context in life changes. But what awareness does is the actions you take are better considered. Better being defined as you are aware of both sides of the coin. Most of the time when we make choices, we're looking at the side that we picked, that we like.
Yeah.
We're not aware of the other side. We've ignored the other side altogether. And that's how we get really hurt.
It's interesting, this topic that you've chosen, and I believe you're about to do a trilogy, three books on the subject. What influenced you to, other than what, you know, what you're sharing with us now, which really have me going, like, you know, in the back of my mind and just kind of stretching to encompass all of what you're saying. What impact do you expect, or would you like to receive as people being exposed to the knowledge that you're sharing with your books, particularly this set of books?
I think the number one thing this awareness has helped me with is forgiving myself for a lot of things.
Mm. Okay.
It's helped me to just, you know, we all have our deep baggage, right? Our deep-seated stuff. And I know for me, the more I've gone into things, the more I've been able to find and let go of my stuff, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
You know, and so for me, you know, when you are aware, when you have an understanding, it's important to share it. And you have to share. It's not about, I can't, you know, I can't, all I can do is point you on the road. It's kind of what I said about my book, Freedom, Choice, Power. And all these books. I love the comedian George Carlin. He talks about self-help books. Says, what is all this nonsense about self-help books? You know, if you did it yourself, you didn't need help. You did it yourself. You know, it's funny, but it's true. You know, it's kind of like, and so what I find, what I always say about my books is, and what I've discovered about all of this self-help stuff is, if you, the good ones are not saying they have the answers.
Okay.
The good ones are merely stating things and pointing you back to yourself to figure it out. Because ultimately, that's it. I cannot tell you about you. I'm not you. There's no way I can know. You know, I don't know that is you. We're born with this individual aspect of ourselves, even though we are universally connected, right? But we are individual instances of consciousness, right? Just like every snowflake is different, every grain of sand is different. So I can't give you answers, but what I can do, if you're willing to, you know, live your life more in faith, walking in the darkness and unknown, in the realm of the unknown, all these terms that describe basically just living more in a letting go fashion and not using your mind to steer you through everything, then if you're doing that, what I can do is share some understandings with you that can serve as a light post on that dark road, you know. And if you think about, I don't know if you've ever been in a really rural area at night where you literally can't see your hand in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. I have, yeah.
When a lamppost comes on, it shows you maybe 10 feet around you, and that's it. But it shows you that there's ground and stuff right there for 10 feet. Well, that's what a self-help, you know, a self-help book that's effective and that's coming from a place of integrity, pun intended, right?
Right, right.
It can serve as a light post on your road, on your journey. But the answers you've got to find for yourself.
Hmm.
Because your answers are going to be different from my answers. Different in the specifics, not in the whole. And the only way you get to embrace the whole is by drilling down into the specifics of your life.
But that's not standard. That's not how we're led to believe things go, because of conformity. Everybody is expected to reach the same place.
That's right.
That's how we're educated in everything.
Yeah, that's why I love the cartoon characters, the Minions. The Minions are the most, in my opinion, one of the most ingenious metaphors for the modern day masses ever devised. I mean, they're hilarious. I mean, they're like most of us. And if you notice, what do they worship? Evildoers. You know, they don't like Gru when he's a good guy. They like evil Gru, and they look for an evil master. And that's a metaphor for the leaders of the world, you know, the rulers of the world, you know. And it's just hilarious. If you, if if you look at it from that perspective. It's really interesting.
See, now you're going to make me go look at cartoons, okay.
Oh, Despicable Me. Yeah, that stuff is terrific. I think those are really fun cartoons, absolutely.
That's cute. Well, audience, you know you're welcome to call in and talk with us at 516-531-9819. This is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and we have Mr. Edward Phelps as our special guest tonight talking to us about a very intriguing subject called integrity. What is it and how does it work? And so we're going to continue on with the conversation. I just want to let you know, feel free to hit the one on your dial. Let us know you want to speak live with us. Continue to put comments and questions in the chat room. And as we dig further into this subject, I know things will come up for you. And so thank you for being with us tonight here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So, Ed, I want to just get back into this conversation because it's really very, very interesting. And so you've explained what integrity is from a current definition standpoint, and then your definition, integrity, is so and we talked a little bit briefly about how it works and what we can expect through the awareness and the lack of making judgments as far as being the goal of seeing if a situation is in integrity because of the quite unique definition that's afforded us for the word. And so where do we go from here? Where do we go in as far as, because I see, to me, your style is more about living life more fully versus in a little narrow container, because you've taken it and you've made it, you've enlarged it. You said, okay, so this is one way to look at this word integrity, but here's another that you can consider. And with the way that you're presenting, I see much more freedom in that, in moving about with that, especially when you're looking at choosing to describe it as loving integrity. That just, it tugs at my heart because it makes a difference. You know, you're putting emotions and an added dimension to it.
Yeah, so for me, it's really important for people to see the world as it is. And we don't. We don't get that. All of the ideas we have most, almost 99, very few people, almost 99% of the people in the world have never had what I call an original thought. Mm. And by that I mean a thought, an idea that is not based on the beliefs, the foundational beliefs that, you know, that they hold. Right, because we don't let go of those beliefs, those understandings, those, you know, those rules of life. And you hear it all the time. Well, that's the way the world is. Or that's what my mom has her favorites. That's the way it is. You know, that's the way the world works. You know, all those sayings. And I was always, I still to this day go, Yeah, but how come it can't work this way? You know, I was like, well, why does it have to work that way?
Right, right.
And the answer is even more fascinating. The answer is pretty simple. The answer is because the rulers of the world want it that way. It's pretty simple.
Right.
That's it. All these ideas you're given, you know, there's a reason why when you do any scratch the surface on the education system, you know, first of all, look at those two words, education system. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what that means is there's this other entity, this outside entity we all know is school, that we, you know, that we're rushing our kids to every day to be indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm.
Indoctrinated with a curriculum that we don't even know where it comes from. We don't know who is in the room sitting there going, this is what we're going to teach, this is how we're going to teach it. And if you look at it at a high level, you know, the powerful at play becomes obvious. As an example, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the big thing being taught in colleges and universities, the major programs, the, you know, the fields to study, aside from doctors and lawyers, right? That's been pretty mm-hmm. consistent. But the big focus areas were in industrialization, manufacturing, you know, managing industrial jobs that were, you know, managing industrial companies, right? And all the biggest companies were big industrial type companies. And then what happened in the late 60s and the 70s? Computers, right? And all of a sudden, fast forward 20 years later, what are the number one classes at all of the universities and the college? What's being taught, right? Technology. Still going on, still growing, right? But who decided to make the shift in what was being taught at all these universities? And notice, all the universities around the world made the same change. And you don't think about this.
Right.
You don't
right.
put any thought into this. You don't see it. You don't have to think about it. You just have to have your eyes open, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everyone can appreciate that it is not some kind of stroke of luck or accident that all of the major universities around the whole world at the same time, right, change the base of their curriculum.
You're absolutely correct.
But what is clear then, if you look at that, is, well, wherever that decision was made, I am not at the party, right?
Mm.
I don't
exactly.
even know who's making that decision. Well, but you are deciding on your career. The other main thing I just makes me bristle when we talk about, you know, integrity and openness, this whole notion of, oh, Lord, the thought just left me. All right, I'll move on. It'll come back.
Okay.
We just don't look at the things going on around us free of the biases. We can't see how contrived all of this stuff is. Have you ever noticed how you can turn on, you can pick up any newspaper, major newspaper, turn on from one news channel to the next, and aside from the local stories, they're all talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about the economy, they're all talking about it from the same perspective, no matter where you go. And yet, we're supposed to believe, we're told, that each network has its own editors, its own writers, its own, you know, its own body people coming up with story ideas that they feel are best for their viewers or
right,
readers
right.
or listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how come the narrative is always the same?
Exactly. I agree.
Take the Palestinian-Israeli issue. That's a big one. Notice something. Notice how you hear all kinds of the same experts from the major think tanks and all these organizations talking about that issue. When is the last time you ever heard from a leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization? When have you seen an article or an interview with anyone from the Palestinian Liberation Organization?
Great point.
Right? But yet
yeah.
you read all of these extremely contrived notions about things, no integrity whatsoever, completely biased points of view, right? And you accept it as news. I mean, if you watch Fox News or CNN today, it's laughable. There is no news. It is nothing but hearsay and speculation disguised as information.
And you know, Edward,
what do you
even
think of is the number one question.
Yes. No. Because when you were talking about the news, I had an opportunity to talk with a very dear friend of mine in Louisiana this afternoon. And she has an elder mom, and she was telling me that her mom was looking at the news, and she was like, "Oh, we're so sorry you guys are having such horrible weather in Atlanta." And I was like, "It's already passed. What are you talking about?" So at that particular time that I was talking to her, it had been cleared up in a good hour. But their news in Louisiana was describing this, you know, god-awful weather that we were having here. And it's not the first time that that's happened. So I see mm-hmm. your point, and I've experienced your point before, and how the news will keep you uninformed versus informed.
And consistently in fear.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
what it's all about. Consistently in fear. You know, I'm so tired of hearing these. And if you notice the format now, the format is you get at least two, but typically three or more people sitting at a table, and the so-called moderator goes, "Well, Steve, what do you think of?" And I'm like, people are watching Steve and Sue and Jimmy sit there discussing what they think of an issue. I don't need to watch them. I can call you up and call up a couple people and talk about, "Well, what do you think of so-and-so?"
Right.
And that's supposed to be news? I mean, it's really, if it weren't so true, it would be hilarious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, back to integrity, you know, do you think these people are sharing their true intentions and their true motives and ideas?
The newscasters?
Yeah.
The people that's reporting the so-called news, I believe that they've got a script, and they have to follow the script. That's what I believe. So
the answer
to
my question would be no.
Exactly.
Right. There you go. But yet we consume that stuff. And not only do we consume it, we debate it and internalize it as facts and you know, useful information.
Right. Gotta have
pretty
it.
Scary.
Gotta know it.
Pretty scary stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to be, you know, forming your opinion and get into an argument based on what Jimmy sat there and said he thought of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty powerful.
and being concerned, you know, or negatively concerned, like my friends in Louisiana,
yeah.
you know, like they're saying, like, "Oh, God, we got to pray for Sandy." Like, pray for me for what? I mean, yeah, it was horrible when it hit. I couldn't see a darn thing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was over in less than an hour. You know, it came through
mm-hmm.
like it normally does. But for them, for the news people in other areas to have people, you know, like really worried and concerned, It's simply amazing to me. So.
Yeah. So those are just some examples of where integrity, how it works, you know. And,
right.
And where if you're on the fearful integrity channel and you spread all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
this is what you get. You know,
mm-hmm.
you get a bunch of people running around, you know, you get the political climate that we have, you get the polarization that we have, you get what we got, basically.
Right, right. So we got another question
coming
from
out of the difference to the question earlier of what's the impact of awareness on that? Well, you know, it's pretty clear you would get some different behaviors. Things, you know, people would behave a bit differently if they were more aware.
Sure, sure. There is a huge difference having awareness and not. You know, and again, just going back to that little simple thing about the weather, you know, my friend and her mom, you know, may have had negative energy or wanting to make sure, you know, like they were sending, that they would be concerned rather about what was, you know, my safety here in Atlanta when there was not a need for that. And so once they became aware and I told them the truth of what was going on, then they could relax and move on to something else. So yeah, it makes a huge, huge difference. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So another question that we have then for you is, how do we have an original thought?
Let go of all of your current beliefs. And by let go, I don't mean literally in terms of, you know, it's not that you have to give them up, but suspend them let them go within yourself, and you'll be amazed at the different ideas that will come into your mind that you won't be judging. Because right now, you don't realize that your beliefs are this huge filter. They're not even a gate, because a gate you can see through. They're like a locked steel wall around yourself. And you can't have an original idea when you have a set of beliefs that you're using as the lens, because that's what beliefs do. They form a lens. So as an example, if you believe the color of red is evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you believe, you're not going to have any brilliant different ideas about the color red, because you won't accept it as being anything but evil. You won't look at it any other way. Does that make sense?
Right. So to surrender the belief around red would be to open yourself up to a new thought or another thought of what it could possibly be. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not only that, but before that, hopefully, before you start thinking about what it could be, the minute you let go of that belief, and letting go of beliefs is easier said than done, right? Because it's,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you can let go, if you can suspend, if you can learn to control the impact of your beliefs, then first thing is you'll see red for what it is. You'll see it for both sides of its coin, right? Remember earlier, we love to pick things, and that's what a belief is. It's picking one side of something.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, in this example, we're saying red is evil. Okay, but anything that is one thing is also instantly the opposite. Can't have up without down.
Right.
There's no such thing as left without right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're focused on left, you're ignoring right. Right? But right is still there. So if you can lift off the veil of left, you'll see that there's a left, oh my goodness, and there's a right. you know, if you can release the veil of it's up, you'll instantly see, well, yeah, there's up, but because there's up, oh, look, there's also down.
Mm. Got it.
You know, so the another metaphor for how we approach life with our minds is our key word for life using our mind is or, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or bad. They're right or wrong. You know, it's left or right, right? It's up or it's down. Right?
Right.
That's what our brain does. It has to take something, compare it, and then it makes a judgment. It chooses a side, right? But life's keyword is and.
Okay.
Life gives you up and down, left and right. So when you can see both things, you can still choose to believe that is evil, but you're aware that it's also other things. You know, like it's also a bright color. It's also a color that's terrific at standing out. It's, you know, it's many other things than just evil, right?
Because you changed your lens from or to and.
Well, right. And you know, beliefs are like colored glasses. So, you know, to use my red example, but having a belief is like putting on red colored glasses. The whole world looks red. What happens when you take, if you walked around with red colored glasses, what would the room you're in right now look like if you took them off? Oh my God, right? Same room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But wow, what a difference.
So I can hear these I hear these questions in people's mind. So how do I recognize my thoughts and get deep inside to understand that a lot of these thoughts are creating my reality, is what you're saying. So if you believe that red is evil and you stay away from red may be one of the blessings in your decor or in your wardrobe that brightens your spirit. And so how do I get to a place where I can recognize, that's it. How do I recognize those some of my core beliefs that I really just want to, you know, like put them up on the blackboard and really dissect them to see how I can change them or at least create a different lens to look at them out of?
Well, the short answer is practice. There's a terrific book on the word, you know, on how, you know, how questions by Peter Block. It's called The Answer to How is Yes. And it's an awesome book.
Ah.
It's a powerful spiritual book. And that said, though, to answer your question, it's really just about, I mean, how do you do it? By doing it, you know, by
okay.
practicing, by just starting from where you are and being inquisitive and finding some alternative understandings that can help you along the way. You just start down the road of doing it. That's how anything gets done. I mean, you know, remember, at some point, people thought the world was flat. And then
right.
a guy got in a boat and said, okay, I'm going to go see. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And disappeared over the horizon and didn't fall off the side, you know?
Right, right.
So, you know, the answer to how is yes, just do it. You know, just jump in the boat and go see what's at the end of that horizon. You know, look at red a different way. You know, if you think it's evil, well then don't, right? Don't think it's evil and see what else red has to offer you, right?
And you know,
that's easy to say.
You know, I get what you're saying.
But the habits, it takes work, but that's what I mean by practice, right?
Yes, right. Because, you know, like you were talking about that the system, the various systems through the religious system, the educational system, the political system, all of that has been very crafty, you know, and making sure that we copy and that we become almost a single-minded individual. And so, well, that was an oxymoron, wasn't it? But so that we become a single thought. And so to now have an original thought means I've got to sit still, right, and take judgments off and not use the or, either or, but it's an and kind of situation. That could be a little intimidating to people to sit down and do to accomplish that activity that you're asking. I think it's wonderful.
Yes, it's extremely daunting, especially in your personal relationships. So, you know, your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife kind of thing, you know. They get on my last damn nerve with this, that, and the other. And, you know, okay, well, you know, to go into that stuff is scary and painful, you know, because you really end up talking about yourself.
Mm.
You can't talk about the other person because you ain't the other person. So,
right.
You know, he gets on my damn nerves becomes I am annoyed when he does this and that and the other. And the difference in just that switch, I'll repeat that again. He gets on my damn nerves becomes I am annoyed when he. The flip there is now you are the owner of your pain.
Because
you're annoyed. And who controls that? You. We don't like to admit that. You know, if I walk up to you and slap you in the face, you have a choice in how you react. We don't like to admit that. We like to take the easy way out. You walk up and slap me in the face, I'm going to knock you out. You know what I mean? Instant reaction, instant judgment, instant reaction. But if you go into that, that's not your idea. You were taught that by your society, by your community. Over the years, this is how I should react when someone walks up and slaps me in the face. That's not an original thought. What is an original approach is someone walks up, slaps you in the face, and you don't, for your own reasons, you don't react and slap them back right away. That's very original, I guarantee you.
I know, right?
That's extremely original,
like,
for you. That'll blow your mind. You know, the place you have to be in for that to happen is an extremely original place for you. I guarantee it.
But sure, you have to be present in the now. You know, it's like because you're stopping that automatic reflex or the learned behavior, the learned response to that.
And to reach the place where you don't react, not only you totally diffused it by letting go of the belief that said that's what I should do, and then being free to take it as it is, you know. You know, and if you notice, it's different. We have different reactions. It's different if I walk up and slap you in the face than if your daughter or your son walks up and slaps you in the face.
Right.
Because of the belief you hold about that relationship and what it means. But what I want you to notice is the action is just the same. Another person walks up, slaps you in the face. That's what happened. That's the thing that happened without judgment, right?
Right.
Another individual walked up, slapped you in the face. So what's the difference? That's what gets into the beliefs about, well, this person means this to me, and this person means that to me.
Got you.
But the thing
different
that happened
values.
Is the exact same thing.
Right.
But we don't see that. We don't, you know, and so being aware helps you to see that. It opens up other possibilities in your life. That's all.
And it's interesting, you know, looking at it from that perspective, because a lot of people just begrudgingly move through one day after another and almost like, you know, that, I can't think of the name of that movie where the guy goes to sleep, but he lives the same day over and over and over again, you know.
Groundhog Day.
So it's, Right. So, you know, it's almost like that because we are so automatic and remote, you know, in the way that we're doing things. There is no original thought or room for original thought as we move about because we've got to do it this way. And we're judged by that, Ed, you know, like, we're taught we don't do it that way. We can be a little bit of anybody, the family, you know, your brothers and sisters, your friends, the school you go to, just, you know, and so we get caught up in that. And I love how you're bringing it. You know, it's like, okay, so let's stop doing it that way. Let's decide we're going to make it. Yeah,
but just
well,
be aware.
Yeah.
You know, just at least then it'll be your choice, as opposed to you acting on all the stuff you were taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, and that's a big difference because that releases a lot of pent up feelings of frustration and unempowerment and all kinds of things that we suffer from.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we know something ain't right. We know it. You know, we know something ain't right, you know. But we're not looking closely. And we're taught not to look closely at anything. Because if you look closely,
exactly.
You see the emperor ain't got no clothes on.
Right. Yeah, well, I could see it'd be quite liberating to elect to exercise that thought or that practice of just, you know, like, okay, I refuse to look at it from that perspective. I want to just look at it and see if it really makes sense to me because a lot of the things that we do are not very intelligent, if I want to use that word. But you know, we have places. Okay, yeah, I was just making sure that I wanted it there. You know, there mm-hmm. are places in our lives where we can take a look and do something differently, but we are so concerned about what everybody else is going to say. And so for you to offer this as a way to look at integrity is really brilliant in my respect, because when we want to make that loving difference or react and take action from a place of loving integrity, that right there opens the door to a more honest way of communication to me. I'm not sure how any of the other listeners are absorbing this and how they're reacting to it. And listeners, we only have about 10 minutes left. So if you do have a comment, a question, or concern that you would like to share with Mr. Phelps, please chime in. We're at 516-531-1111. 1-800-273-9819. If you're already on the line, just hit 1 on your dial, and I'll open up your phone so that you can speak. We're talking about integrity and what that word is, right? What is it and how does it work? Mr. Phelps, my friend, a repeated guest here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, has been really taking us through some meaningful steps and offering suggestions that we can use to become more aware. And that's his word, awareness. Awareness will take us down, sometimes will take us down a whole new road that we hadn't considered before, especially when we are living a life that is primarily just routine, and we're repeating the same thing over and over in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, day in and day out. And so I'm really loving this, the conversation that Ed is providing for us and some of the definitions and words that he's used, like fearful integrity, loving integrity. We talked about judgment and original thought, how control or the idea of control impacts our beliefs, and how generally we'll use the word or, and he says it so beautifully, let the key word in life be and. So it's up and down, bright and dull, and so that we expand our awareness around our relationship with the world and with everything that's going on. And we talked about some of the other issues that we're facing right now, too. So once again, that's 516-531-9819. Let us know if you have a question or concern in chat room. If you have another question, please let us know what it is. And we're on a countdown now. So, Ed, do you have additional thoughts, comments? About your series?
You mentioned something I thought was very powerful, that, we do a lot of things out of a fear of how we'll be seen by others. And we're taught that. Mm-hmm. That's on purpose. And the classic book, The Four Agreements, which is my Bible, written by Don Miguel Ruiz. So there's four agreements. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and always do your best. Well, the second one, don't take anything personally, deals specifically with addressing that fear of how you're seen by others. And so he describes that as nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. And that's, I guarantee you, trying to live every day, by those four agreements is going to be the greatest lifelong meditation that you will ever have. And it would transform your life.
Right.
So, but yeah, don't take anything personally. Another thing. There's just some wonderful texts that you can read. Wisdom wasn't invented, a week ago. There've been some folks around for a while who have put these core standings into words. One of my favorites is Khalil Gibran.
Ah, yes.
And he wrote a book called The Prophet, which is a classic, in my opinion, and it's mm-hmm. basically, it covers all of the major relationship environmental issues that we deal with in our lives. Its chapters, its topics include love, marriage, children, giving, eating and drinking, work, joy and sorrow, houses, clothes, buying and selling, crime and punishment, laws, freedom, reason and passion, pain, self-knowledge, teaching, friendship, talking, time and evil, prayer, pleasure, beauty, religion, death, all of those main things that we contemplate and want to know about from a you know, what we would call a godly, creator, holistic, spiritual basis, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the words in there are just powerful. Let's see, is there a passage here? I'm looking at it now.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the most beautiful books.
I'm going to read this passage on good and evil because it speaks to a lot of what we're talking about in integrity
today.
Okay. So, speak to us of good and evil. And he answered, "Of the good in you I can speak, but not of the evil. For what is evil but good, tortured by its own hunger and thirst? Verily, when good is hungry, it seeks food even in dark caves, and when it thirsts, it drinks even of dead waters. You are good when you are one with yourself, yet when you are not one with yourself, you are not evil. For a divided house is not a den of thieves, it is only a divided house. And a ship without a rudder may wander aimlessly among perilous isles, yet sink not to the bottom. You are good when you strive to give of yourself, yet you are not evil when you seek gain for yourself. For when you strive for gain, you are but a root that clings to the earth and sucks at her breast. Surely the fruit cannot say to the root, 'Be like me, ripe and full and ever giving of your abundance.' For the fruit is giving, for the fruit giving is a need, as receiving is a need to the root. You are good when you are fully awake in your speech, yet you are not evil when you sleep while your tongue staggers without purpose. And even stumbling speech may strengthen a weak tongue. You are good when you walk to your goal firmly with bold steps, evil when you go thither limping. Even those who limp go not backward. But you who are strong and swift, see that you do not limp before the lame, deeming it kindness. You are good in countless ways, and you are not evil when you are not good. You are only loitering and sluggard. Pity that the stags cannot teach swiftness to the turtles. In your longing for your giant self lies your goodness, and that longing is in all of you. But in some of you, that longing is a torrent rushing with might to the sea, carrying the secrets of the hillsides and the songs of the forest. And in others, it is a flat stream that loses itself in angles and bends and lingers before it reaches the shore. But let not him who longs much say to him who longs little, 'Wherefore are you slow and halting?' For the truly good ask not the naked, 'Where is your garment?' Nor the houseless, 'What has befallen your house?'" Those are powerful words, powerful understanding, powerful awarenesses.
Very.
And those are the kinds of things that I put into my consciousness on a regular basis. They help you deal with things. They help you look at things differently.
Sure.
That's
mind
my
expanding. Yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate those two and all the other ones that you, the nuggets that you dropped on us tonight. Just truly amazing, an amazing show tonight. Will you please share your contact information and whatever announcements you may have about any events upcoming for you or how you would like to interact with the audience?
Sure. No announcements right now. My website, so I formed Pocket Awareness, and Pocket Awareness publishes wisdom for living that's easy to access and understand. And the concept is pretty simple. We publish books as a norm that are 30 pages or less and written at a sixth grade reading level. And the reason for that is it's important to communicate the ideas very quickly and easily for someone to read. And to the point you made earlier in the show, yeah, I don't write 300-page books. You know, I want people from all education levels and all aspects of our life to be able to access some wisdom that can be a light, you know, a lamp on their road.
Yes.
Because when I, you know, all the things I've read, like Khalil Gibran and Deepak Chopra and Eckhart Tolle, you know, they required both of my college degrees and a dictionary right next to me to understand. So today we have a huge, huge undereducated class and a huge stratification in what's even being taught in our quote-unquote education system. And it's just, you know, the public schools today are not on par at all with the private schools. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, a Pocket Awareness book would be accessible to anyone, regardless of your means or your education level. So it's pocketawareness.com is the website. My book is called Freedom, Choice, Power, A Guide to Living Free. It's available on Amazon. It's available on iBooks. It's available on BarnesandNoble.com, and it's available on Kobo. And let's see, no announcements right now. But I welcome any questions or feedback. My email is edward@pocketawareness.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I truly, truly appreciate you for being back with us. So, audience, thank you for joining me today on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to share in this discussion. Thank you in the chat room for the questions that you had for us. And again, we wish you the best of everything, and may you forever live in divine wellness. Life, Love, and Wellness will return next Tuesday, same time, new guests. Love you guys. Have a great week.
Life, Love, and Wellness.